Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
They stretch you out.
They gave me some extra clothes to work on it. You know, the pecs are connected to the delts, the whole thing.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the DMVR Nuggets podcast.
Let's go.
All right, we got it. Presented, as always, by Bet365. Never ordinary today, though. Kind of ordinary.
Pretty goddamn ordinary.
We're going to do a mailbag. We're going to get some hangover takes, as we always do. Some hangover takes. I had a chance to rewatch last night. You believe it. I rewatched the second quarter of last night's game. To really put myself back in that place. But I do have some notes. I honestly just wanted to see, why did the Nuggets give up a 21-1 run? What was it? I have some new perspective on it, so we'll talk about that. You guys sent in some very good questions. We'll get to that. We'll also talk about the five worst teams to lose to.
I bet I know one of them.
I'll bet you know one of them. And then also, we have a fun one about, if you could curse any player to not win a title, who would it be? So start thinking of your answers, boys.
Oh, dude, I
to help. Yeah, we got, you can only get one.
About which player I'd like to curse at?
Nope. Oh, okay. Get just to not let them win a title. To help me with all of that, I got Brendan Vogt.
A little mini haters ball. That sounds nice,
dude. We got hurt last night, so we're haters
now. We gotta hurt other people.
Hurt people. Hurt people.
That's right. That's right. I'm not above it.
We're definitely not above it. Over here. D-Lanko.
Yeah, guys, listen, I've got hangover takes. The main hangover take I have is that I'm hungover.
Oh, man. You're not really.
That's true.
That's not true. And then, of course, Harrison Wind.
I was like, man, what did I miss at the bar on a Tuesday night?
I will tell you.
I missed a lot.
Dude, I did a mini emotional eating therapy.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning with a box of sweet tarts next to me.
Sweet tarts?
Yeah. Wait, those come in boxes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I only know the two little things. Yeah,
no, it was that kind of night.
The thing is, you can only eat so many of those before your tongue just falls off.
Yeah, you're right. No, that's like, it's like a good emotional eating venture, because you're right. There's a natural stop in it. You can't go too hard.
I don't like a sweet tart.
Listen, man, nothing about what I just said it was an encouragement to follow my behavior.
You know what, though, D-Line? You're not alone. I did not emotionally eat last night, but I think a lot of Pete Nuggets fans did, because I just peeked online. I knew last night people were just going to probably be mad at me, mad at you, mad at everybody that is associated roughly with the Nuggets. But I did peek last night just a little bit, and I got to say, a lot of people saying, yeah, man, I'm still bummed. I'm still bothered by this game or what have you. I think that this one probably did have a little more sting to it than a typical game, which is funny because, as we mentioned, it kind of felt like a meaningless game here or there. But people are upset about it.
I think that tells us more about how people feel about the Phoenix Suns than anything else. I really do.
Totally.
Because I'm not trying to do fan how you want a fan. This is just me talking about my perspective. I was really surprised, actually, at the vitriol last night.
Yeah.
I thought that maybe the recent stretch had earned a little more goodwill. But that wasn't, oh, this team is not what we thought they were, vitriol. That was, I hated watching that.
Yeah.
And I hate losing to the Suns. And I can certainly relate to those two things.
So here's, you know what it is? When you're on a win streak, it's like if it's really hot outside and you jump into a cold pool. If it's medium outside, you jump a cold pool, it's not that big of a transition. But if it's really hot, that's what it is. We were riding so high that the loss felt extra low, just in proportion to what we had been used to, I think, Wynn.
Well, it tells me two things. One, people are taking statement week seriously.
Oh, yeah.
I'm happy about.
Me too.
This is an important week in the season. I'm glad we're all serious about it.
Love that.
I'm glad for that. Second, just the Suns are so hateable. I mean,
it's loathsome.
Grayson Allen.
Oh, dude, shut
and
up.
He's the one.
Yeah, shut up. Don't say that.
Yusuf Nurkic.
God, what are you doing, dude?
Somehow it got worse. He started bad and it got worse.
Yeah. Drew Eubanks, who I just hate.
You hate Drew Eubanks?
For no reason.
I don't have any thoughts about Drew Eubanks. Yeah.
I have some. They're hair-based. Got some hair-based takes.
David Roddy, I like. I like David Roddy.
David Roddy's impossible to hate.
Yeah. You know what the worst moment was?
Frank
at the
Vogel. I kind of hate Frank Vogel.
Oh, you want to talk about hair-based
thing? He still needs to go up a size in his quarter zip on the sideline.
He does like it really tight.
Yeah. When there was a Suns fan at the bar last night, which is tough enough, then David Roddy had that and one, and he says, I don't even know who that is. Oh, I almost kicked him out of our bar.
There was a Suns fan.
I almost kicked him out of our bar, yeah.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
Also, that kid courtside last night.
I didn't even see that.
Oh, good.
Oh, he got like Bradley Beal's shoes.
Yeah, I'm going to go after that kid.
Let's go after the kid. Screw it, dude.
Yeah.
Like, probably has a lot of money.
Yeah, it is like last – your analogy is a good one, Adam, and it is what it is to go to the city of Phoenix where it is – it is a temperature outside that is mind-boggling.
Yeah. People aren't supposed to live there.
And then you walk, and then you go into any building, and it's colder than it's ever been.
And there's probably a DJ playing.
Yes, dude.
Yeah.
But like, but they can't find the middle ground. Like, they can't. It's like I'm so serious. Hot and so cold, and that is the Phoenix experience. They gave it to us, and it felt terrible.
I was in Scottsdale last year, trying to have a good brunch. Walk in, 10 a.m. There's a DJ.
What kind
just
of jam?
Going crazy.
What kind of jams were they spinning?
Like Scottsdale vibes.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude.
Well, EDM and
like downtown
10
Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Like just.
And I'm like, can I just have an Eggs Benedict, please?
They're like,
peace and quiet.
They're welcome
I don't
to
need
LA.
Avicii spinning like right next to me.
Welcome to
I
LA Junior, right?
Now. Okay. Yeah, it is LA Juniors out there.
Anyways.
All right. Scottsdale, huh? Well, we didn't get a ton of your takes, so we'll get to the hangover now. Let's get some hangover takes, and we'll start with you, Wynn, since you weren't on the show last night, other than very briefly. Do you have any hangover takes now that you've slept and digested this one?
Have you digested?
Yeah, my biggest hangover take is that, Nikola Jokic looked like he had something else on his mind last night. He was not locked in like he's been locked in throughout statement week so far. I don't know what it was, but it was very apparent from the beginning of the game, I thought. Just, I like to read body language. I think we all do. He was not the same guy last night that he was to start that Lakers game. There was just something different. He didn't have that same intensity. Didn't seem to be as locked in as much. And it felt like the Suns and Yusef Nurkic sensed that a little bit and capitalized. And that kind of set the tone for the whole game, I thought. It was a great comeback, but, I mean, that game was lost in the second quarter. I thought Denver deserved to lose because of that. And, I mean, Nikola Jokic always sets the tone with this team, and I didn't feel like he set the right tone last night.
Yeah. I mean, that's 1,000% it. Jokic is 50% of the vibe.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't have it, even if the rest of the team did, which they did not, Aaron Gordon also did not have that vibe. Jamal Murray in the first half, for the most part, did not have that vibe. But even if you got everybody else, you're missing Jokic, you're missing half the vibe. So unfortunately, that is his obligation. That is the burden he bears, is that he really can't be bad.
You could see it in his eyes. It just wasn't the same eye of the Joker that he had versus the Lakers.
What do you think? I mean, do you think it was like fatigue? I mean, honestly, we talked about this a lot. Six games of playoff intensity is hard to do. They had that.
Yeah.
So the seventh game, it might have just been natural. Like, dude, again, serious?
Maybe. They did have 2 days off, though. I don't know. I'm not sure.
For me, we mentioned this last night, but it was the most physical game that the Nuggets have played in a while. And the
Heat game was physical.
Yeah, but not like that. It's and a lot of it is like the refs are allowing it, right? They just have.
Think he was annoyed. Yeah.
I don't think that he was annoyed. I think he was just like, he just wasn't up for it. He's like, I don't want to, you know, like you got to slam back in. Like you really got to give maximum effort. And it just didn't seem like, I mean, you can kind of understand. Some days you wake up, Adam's shoulder hurts right now. He doesn't want to. Adam showing his arm off. You see how bad that felt for everyone to see? Like that. Every now and again, you don't want to deal with that. You know what I mean?
Hangover take?
Yeah. Jokic the games when the Nuggets lose because Jokic wasn't good enough, that's like a total eclipse. It happens once every 18 months. It looks and feels weird, unwise to stare directly at it.
Dude, yeah,
and if you can bank on anything, like the sun's going to go back to normal eventually. And that's just how I feel about these Jokic bad games. They don't concern me because if I could pick one thing that would be different the next time they play, it would probably be the best player in the world looking a little better.
Yeah, it was a total eclipse by the Suns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty good, right? That was pretty good. I was actually more encouraged by the way Christian Brown and Peyton Watson played, missed threes included, notwithstanding, than I was discouraged. Suns don't scare me one bit. I thought Durant and Beal were so bad in the fourth. Credit to them for how they were in overtime, but I just didn't – nothing about that was concerning. It was just really a bummer.
All right, let's get into some of my notes then now because you lead into that. On rewatch, I always say the spectacular defensive plays stand out so much, mistakes cost you more, but they don't always stand out. On rewatch, I thought Peyton Watson had more mistakes than stood out to me on live watch.
All right.
You go back and rewatch some of the play. Again, watching live, I would agree with you. Go back and rewatch and try to break that. You see a wide open layup and you go, okay, well, what happened here? It was Peyton was late to rotate and it led to a chain reaction that got this. And those are the what kill you because it's hard to score in the NBA when a team does not make a mistake. It's hard. When you make a mistake, if it's bad enough, it's the easiest thing on earth. So every time you allow another team the easiest possession on earth, it hurts you. And I thought he had a couple of those in this game. The other one is, we've talked about this before, but we haven't talked about it lately. Zeke Nagy switching against this team specifically. One, he did not do a good job on Bradley Beal cooked him a few times that were like really easy cookings. But two, we saw it again. He gets some fouls. Like, he got some really bad fouls. Zeke Nagy, they were in the bonus with 7 minutes to go in that second quarter. That's another one where a bad stint or even a bad stretch here is going to hurt the starters when they check back in. That was an example of it. And he had two just really pointless fouls. One of them, an and one, where he reached in for no reason. It made no impact on the play other than to foul and allow an easy layup. But two, but the thing I'm getting to, Harrison, is even if he does a good job on the perimeter switching, it often means that Jamal Murray is now in the paint trying to box a guy out. And this is the tricky thing about Zeke is you have to have a fully switchable lineup around him. And if you don't, or even if you do, you're still going to have Reggie Jackson sometimes boxing out Eubanks. And it's like, yeah, that's a mismatch for us now. Now we're behind, even though we did the good thing up top.
Yeah. I was sitting next to somebody on press row last night who's in his first season covering the team full time. And he was like, doesn't everybody say Zeke Nagy's a really good switchable defender? And this is after he was getting blown by and blown by and blown by. And I was like, I swear to God, he used to be. I swear to God, he used to be a true 3-and-D player. You would never believe it now, but he used to be able to switch and shoot threes. But that was a big takeaway from last night. The Nuggets tried to switch that when they had Zeke Nagy on the floor, and it didn't work. He was getting blown by, compromising the defense, or he was fouling. And I mean, if you're not able to do that with him, like, his value in theory goes way down.
Yeah. And he also has Zeke, and like, he's cursed with this. It's a bummer, but he has these plays that just feel especially worse. The one I'm thinking of is he gets a drop off, I think, from Murray right at the rim, elevates to dunk it, and Eubanks makes a good play where he blocks him at the rim. But it's one of those ones where it's like, how do you get blocked there, man? It's Eubanks. Like, don't get blocked. Just smash it through him and get the foul. And he didn't have that one. But I don't want to rag on Zeke too bad. He was a +3 last night. So these things were being a little nitpicky with him. Although, to the point earlier, that group allowed the Suns in the bonus in 5 minutes. So the rest of the half, there were fouls 90 feet from the basket that resulted in 2 points because they were playing in the bonus the whole time. So it compounds.
I got to stick on Zeke for one more point. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Like, poor Zeke, man.
Drew Eubanks looked like Wilt Chamberlain on the glass last night. Like, how many offensive tip-outs did Drew Eubanks have? At least 5.
Yeah, but he had a lot on Yoke, too. I mean, Yoke was out there for a very important ones, including the last possession of the regulation.
But I do feel like, from my memory, I didn't go back and rewatch the game, but I remember Drew Eubanks getting a lot of those on Zeke Nagy, and it was shortly after Zeke Nagy looked good in a stint against Bol Bol.
Right.
And then Drew Eubanks was playing center, and it didn't go as well.
I got two more notes for you guys. One is, teams have been doing this a lot, going zone against Denver's bench. Because you think about it, the ball's going to be in Jamal Murray's hand, so you're going to have somebody on the ball. And then you could sort of pack the pain a little bit against that group because they're just not afraid of the spacing for it. And I think this is a regular season issue. Denver will, in the playoffs, probably have enough shooting and spacing. But right now, if you're an opposing team, it almost buys you your bench minutes because you're like, well, we don't worry if we're compromised. We're just going to go zone. They can't beat it. And if you can't beat it, Denver struggled to beat it last night. And, you know, that was one thing that stood out to me on rewatch.
I think it's a fine point to look at. I just would only underscore the point that I thought the bench was pretty good last night, largely. Yeah. I don't think that's why they lost the game, but not that these are irrelevant observations.
Then the run really started with Jokic and Gordon on the court. Very rare for those two to be on the court during a run. But listen to the surrounding lineup, and I looked it up because there weren't a lot of minutes with it throughout the year. It's Jokic, Gordon, Reggie, KCP, and Peyton Watson. Now, here's why that's important. Reggie, Aaron Gordon, Peyton Watson, that's a tough trio to space the court around. And if they're not shooting the ball well, then you can get in a funk. And that 21-1 run, then you put the starters back in, and they were still in a funk. But I would describe it as Denver's offense went off the rails and wasn't able to get back on it. They fell into a funk. And I look at that lineup, negative net rating, minus 3 in 87 minutes. It's hard to have a negative net rating with Jokic and Gordon on the court. It's hard. And again, 87 minutes isn't a lot. But I do look at that and go, that's probably a five-man lineup that you should try to avoid no matter what your rotations are.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, it's been a while since they have been that stuck in the mud for that extended period of time. It was weird, man. It was it was just like a lot of hands in head or head in hands time, which we haven't been getting at all for a while. So it was jarring. But honestly, one of the big takeaways for me is the fact that they were able to rally back from such a putrid performance and actually should have won the game.
Yeah.
Which to me is actually most encouraging because this in many ways was a true playoff style game in that it was extremely physical. You couldn't count on shooting when things got tight. You could count on the Nuggets to dig deep and do what they needed to get back and actually take the lead. The craziest thing that I keep coming back to is just that I cannot believe the two-man game did not materialize in any meaningful way last night.
And it did in the fourth quarter.
In overtime.
But in overtime, it didn't.
Nothing.
But like not
in the fourth quarter, it did.
Kind of, but not in the same way. Like it looked a little different. It was a little bit more clunky. It just, the Nuggets just like got out physical the whole night. But I did, I truly like, what I'm left with is that I can't believe they came back from that big of a hole. And they didn't even play well. You know, they just were able to do things. They were able to get stops. They were able to disrupt the Suns from what they were doing. And the fact that they dropped it was just such a huge bummer. But, like, there were a lot of really positive things in that unbelievably terrible game that I'll never watch again.
KCP, Kale, do you have Kale, do you have a conspiracy corner?
Contavious. All right, Kale.
Kale CP. I got a little conspiracy corner for you guys.
KLCP.
They get murdered in a lineup that they never play. Everybody was healthy last night, right? You go to a new rotation. I think there's a little bit of like, this is a team we might play in the playoffs. We're going to do some funky things. You throw it out. Jokic had 7 turnovers. Well, guess what? A lot of them came in a lineup that had 3 non-shooters on it. You know, I just look at that and go, I don't think Denver was trying to lose by any means, but I do think that they were playing a little bit with one hand tied behind their back on purpose. Because it was like, let's experiment with some stuff here and see what works. And of course, try to be competitive. And there was all those other things we're saying about energy being low and all that stuff. But it could be true of Jokic too, being like, he knows these things where he's like, really, you gave me this lineup and now I'm low energy because I'm have a lineup that's extra hard and a matchup is serious. I don't know. So a little conspiracy corner.
What was the lineup again?
Jokic and Aaron Gordon, Reggie, KCP, Peyton Watson. Again, 87 minutes total, and I think it played like 6 last night or 5 last night.
Oh, boy.
So it's not a lineup they go to too often, and like I said, a very, very, very rare Jokic negative lineup and an even rarer Jokic-Gordon combo negative lineup on the season. So something to just digest and think about, but that does it. Let's go move on, though. Segment 2, the Nuggets are going to Abu Dhabi.
What?
Nice.
That's maybe the DNVR Nuggets, too. Who knows?
Hashtag DNVR Abu Dhabi.
We need a shorter, easier to spell hashtag.
That is true. Let's take a break. We'll talk about that on the other side.
Guys, it's Miller time here at the DNVR bar. Miller Lite, great tasting.
Oh, delicious.
So great tasting for a light beer. Undebatable quality. Only 96 calories as well. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. A lot of light beers out there. Tastes like crap. Tastes like water. Don't taste like anything. Miller Lite tastes like a beer. Great tasting. Less filling. Only 96 calories. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/DNVR, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. I love Miller Lite. It's a great beer. Great for drinking any occasion, any season, any location, any time of day. Miller Lite is awesome. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Man, I love Miller Lite. When you talk about it, I fight the urge to crack open one of those lukewarm Miller Lights on the set. Bet365, it's never ordinary. They believe every sport should be epic, and right now new customers can make every moment epic, every game epic, by choosing between two offers. When they open an account at Bet365 and sign up using the code DNVR365, deposit $10, make your choice between that bet and get offer, place a bet of $5 or more and get $150 in bonus bets, or your first bet safety net offer by placing a bet up to $1,000. And if your qualifying bet loses, you receive a matched refund in bonus bets. There's also the sweet NBA early payout offer if your team gets up by 20. This is a good one for Suns fans. That team squanders a lot of big leads, even the games they win. When your team goes up by 20, you win. That's simple. You do have to be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
So you guys see this news come across. The Nuggets next season will play two preseason games against the Boston Celtics in Abu Dhabi.
What?
You didn't see this?
No. You know what's closer than Abu Dhabi?
Everywhere on Earth.
Belgrade.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know what has more money than Belgrade?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Abu Dhabi.
Case closed. NBA,
you're just saying that because they literally sponsor the refs.
Abu Dhabi?
Well, it's United Arab Emirates.
This is a weird one. The NBA's been doing this. They're doing it, obviously, for like financial promotional reasons, because you're right, playing it in Belgrade would be the coolest thing. And then for sure we would be going to the game.
Yes.
For sure we would. Abu Dhabi, we're probably not going to go for a preseason game, I'm not going to lie. But the only story, I don't know, maybe you guys have another take on this, but for me, I'll throw it to you, Vote. It kind of sucks. I'm already worried. Nuggets, we want them to play through June tonight this year. They have a chance. They got the Olympics. Then you're going to have to go to Abu Dhabi and training camp right after training camp. The teams that do that, it's just so much, man. Well, that's a lot. It adds a little extra tension.
Hey, this is, you want to be like the team that's the face of the league, the team everyone watches, the best team in basketball, the most ethical team in basketball.
Abu Dhabi?
No, that's not the link I was making. That'd be a tough plan to land, though. No, what I'm saying is this is the stuff you sign up for, man. Yeah. You're in the showcase.
They didn't sign up for it.
I know. I understand. There's a figure of speech. How would you showcase the NBA right now? What two teams would you have go play if you want the best product possible? I understand it's a preseason game, but if you wanted the best product possible.
The Nuggets and the Knicks.
That's right. Obviously, it's the Celtics. And so that's kind of the stuff that happens. You know what I mean? They're going to go represent the NBA because they're one of the NBA's best products.
So you would call this, you almost view it as a compliment. Like the NBA views the Nuggets as the team that
they should. It's totally a compliment.
That's how I view it.
Yeah, it's totally a compliment.
I was going to say, if you find yourself playing in Siberia, that's bad.
Okay. Yeah, that's the Emmanuel Mudiay preseason era.
But, teams that take trips like this usually do get off to bad starts in the season. The third championship of the three-peat is going to be tough. It's going to be behind the eight ball early on that. I hate it. Like, I hate it. The other bad thing is, like, this game's on in the middle of the night. Like, nobody's going to be watching it either.
I bet they will in Belgrade.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I do look at it as, you know, the Nuggets are a premier team in the NBA like we thought they are.
It's exactly
right. And the league looks at them like that now.
It's exactly right. No, the Nuggets, dude, we've leveled up. You normally be the Warriors. They'd send the Warriors. They'd send the Lakers. They'd send the Michael, the MJ Bulls. They'd send, and we have we're acting like champions in that we get paraded around. When I say we, I mean them.
Them, yeah, for sure.
But it's, yeah, dude, that's cool.
I think in my mind, you're on the team.
I think so too.
Yeah.
In my mind, obviously, also.
For what it's worth.
They're also an international team, you know, Jokic and Murray, so I think it adds a little bit to it. But I think the bigger piece is obviously the premier porn. We're going to get into some of our mailbag questions now, and I want to start with this one. Vogt and I were actually having this conversation last night after the show. But if you could pick one player that you could just say, you press a button and they will not win a championship. They just will not
matter.
Do we? No matter what.
Can we do this?
Or I wish we could.
Well, okay.
But if you could,
that's the first wish.
It's the first wish. If you could though, who would you pick? I'll go to you, Vogt, since we were talking about. I'll give them a second to think about this.
Okay, I obviously have mine ready to go, and I can give you a good. I can give you a good answer. It's Jason Tatum, because Jason Tatum is either going to be a Boston Celtic or he's going to leave the Celtics for the Los Angeles Lakers.
He might do both.
One of those two things is happening. And if I can guarantee that one of those two teams ain't winning, I'm doing it. The other thing is that Tatum's 25 and relatively healthy, right? So as much as I push back on how media jumped the gun, the media, that doesn't mean anything. Some media members jumped the gun and made him like a top three player when he wasn't. He's 25 and he's got room to grow.
He's got 15 years, basically.
I'm taking Tatum, the Celtics, and possibly the Lakers off the board.
Man, it's a good... I think it's honestly a really, really, really strong pick. You get the longevity. You get the Celtics aspect of it. I don't hate Tatum like you do.
But this is about the teams, kind of.
It kind of is.
It kind of is about the teams.
You're right, though, that... Here's the thing about Tatum. I would be shocked if he has a Cleveland stint.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'd be shocked if he's in Minnesota.
And by the way, if he's in Minnesota, feel free to win one, man. I don't care. But if he's a Celtic or a Laker.
He's definitely going to be a Knick, a Celtic, a Laker his entire career, just for sure. Maybe he does Miami at some point. He's one of those guys. All right. Have you thought long and hard?
Yeah. It took me 11 seconds. Microseconds.
Okay.
And I don't even think I have to. This is kind of a waste of a
Yeah,
that, don't that do it then. Don't do it. Bit.
I still doesn't in. Matter, dude. Like, he's an affront to all things holy as it pertains to the basketball gods.
This could mean about 40 different
players. There's two guys. Can I combine two?
You got
players?
One. You have to
and
take
one. And you don't
one.
Need to use it on either of them.
I'm going to say Chris Harden.
Oh.
Chris Paul and James Harden.
Paul is 38 years old.
I know. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't need to use this on him, but I just might just to make sure.
I'm surprised that this is your pick. You're saying James Harden, then, for the record, which I think is a really good one.
Yes.
I mean, Chris Paul, they're not winning the title this
year. No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I want those two players are so disrespectful to basketball and have just absolutely ruined, left not only teams in ruin, left the sport in ruin, left the rule book in ruin. They have obviously been punished by and will never achieve the highest level. I'm wasting this, but I, again, want to make sure and I want to know the basketball gods know that I'm on their side. And I agree with who you've smited. I am in your camp and I am forever humbled to be in your service.
Wind. The board is yours.
My pick was James Harden, too.
Really? Yeah, man, I'm surprised by this.
I didn't know you guys.
I just like James Harden, too. I just like him, but I don't. It's not like that.
Yeah.
Well, pile on.
My other pick would be D'Angelo Russell.
It's a good one.
Who I'm just convinced sucks.
Yeah.
Even when he's really good.
Devin Booker, too.
So you guys left Embiid on the table. You left Devin Booker on the table. I think it would be Embiid.
Yeah,
I just would like to to clear the board, all foes or something.
You're
just
right.
Like, you know what? Jokic was the winner there. I think it would probably be him. But Devin Booker's high on my list, too.
Sneaky candidate.
Sneaky high candidate. I would not mind Devin Booker never getting one.
And also Scotty Barnes. Just kidding. I'm so afraid of Scotty Barnes' shooters right now. They're scary on the internet.
I do have a little respect for players that stay with the team that drafted them and, you know, could demand out but don't. And stay through like the tough times and try to come out on the other side of it.
That's fair.
Embiid has flirted with not doing that though. Which is like, you're right, not as big of a sin, but it is to me still a little sin. I'd hate if Jokic came out and was like, hey, if they don't do this for me, I'm out.
Of course, if
I had unlimited one of these, a dark horse candidate, because we just don't have to worry about it at all.
Yeah.
Jeremy Grant.
Whoa. Yeah, dude, I used almost no personal spite in my...
I know. You went James Harden for principal.
I just don't like him at all.
I know.
I really, he's
unlikable.
Oh, really Nurkic? Despise
Anyone
him.
Have Nurkic?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't go Nurkic. I just don't believe that he is another one. Like, I just don't think it'll happen, but Chris Paul it won't happen with either. I just despise those two players.
All right. Well, to get out of this segment, then, we did do a Bet365 Never Ordinary Top 5, and it was along these lines. Top 5 worst teams to lose to. I tasked Vote with coming up with his list. I'm sure it matches all of our lists.
Yeah, this is my list, and I want to remind you that if your list is different, the best way to handle that is to call me an idiot. Okay, here we go.
Go ahead, you idiot.
Number 5 on my list. I already actually tried a different answer, and everyone at the company called me an idiot, so I changed it.
You did? He put the Utah Jazz.
I did have the Utah Jazz there, and I actually... I'm happy to get into that as a dark horse one.
Yeah.
But number 5, the Clippers.
It does suck to lose to the Clippers.
They're a soulless operation.
Paul's just playing a lot lately. Have you guys noticed?
First off, what does that even feel like?
Well, the last time they played, they lost. Great point. That's why I brought up. The last time they played, they lost. And I didn't know how much that streak was important to me until that moment.
Yeah.
I don't like it. They're an affront to team building.
Yeah. Bones Highland, I'm telling you, playing now because Westbrook's out.
He's playing well, huh?
No, he's like 0 for 9 in the 3 games
he's played. I only actually saw
him. He's been passed.
I saw him come on the screen and he nailed a 3 and I was like,
Number 4, this one's personal, fellas, the Boston Celtics. I don't know how much
that's 4?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm a Nuggets.
This is big of you.
I'm a Nuggets fan before I'm a Celtics hater. Okay.
That sounds cool. I don't know if it's true.
We've been on this show multiple times where you're watching a Celtics game.
Chronologically, it's definitely not true. But yeah, also, the Celtics are in the East.
You
never play them. And I don't think many of you care as much as I do. So I did you a favor. I left them at 4. Number 3. The Phoenix Suns.
Whoa. Man, I can't believe it's 3. To me, it might have been 2.
And this is why everyone is in such a bad mood.
It's so
right
true,
now.
Man. I'm telling
just
you.
Just because they lost to the Suns.
On the show yesterday, everybody downplayed it, but I'm telling you, Nuggets fans in the back of the recesses of their subconscious, they still hate the Suns. And it's beautiful.
No, everyone definitely hates the Suns, but you don't look at it like, oh, God, we're in trouble. You're like,
those
idiots, really? Like, yeah. Come on, man.
At the same time, I do feel like the Nuggets are kind of like past the Suns thing, so they can't come in one for me. Now, there's a spiritual and obvious answer to this, and everyone in the chat is hitting
it. He's guessing. He did his list wrong.
You guys want the Los Angeles Lakers to be number one, and historically, that is obviously the case for the Denver Nuggets. Fellas.
It's gonna be Lakers.
They never lose to the Lakers.
I know.
So I had to drop them to 2 because it just doesn't happen anymore.
The Lakers are number one. Got cute with it.
The Lakers are number one. The Lakers are number one, except that they've beaten the Lakers 7 straight times.
Let me guess.
So I'm putting them at number 2.
Can I guess number one is?
Yeah.
Philadelphia.
It is Philadelphia.
Let's go.
It is Philadelphia because, again, it's not about what we know. It's not about what we're forced to confront. When Jokic loses to the Joel Embiid-led Sixers, it's about how insufferable the discourse gets and how it feels for about a week. And because the Nuggets never play the Sixers and Embiid never plays in Denver, right? So the Lakers, you're going to get another chance to beat them. Yeah. Same with the Clippers and so on and so on. But with the Sixers, you got to just stew on that. And it's not like he's going to make the finals. So, you know, that's the head-to-head matchup. That's how it lives.
There you go. That's Vote's list. If you agree or disagree, let us know in the comments. We know you disagree. So go ahead and let him have it during this break. All right, on the other side, we're going to get to some of these questions, including about Peyton Watson and Christian Brown's offensive roles in the playoffs, as well as a bunch of other things about the Nuggets changing their system in the playoffs. Some interesting stuff to get to on the other side.
If you guys have roofing needs, hit up Red Hawk Roofing. Best roofers in all the land. They have quality materials that they use. They come with decades of experience, quick response time, and they will actually give you a free no obligation roof and property inspection as well. They're huge DNVR people, they're huge Nuggets people, they're huge Denver sports fans. So for all your roofing needs, call these guys up. Free in-depth photo reports for all inspections as well. So if you're looking for a new roof over your home or business, be sure to check out Red Hawk Roofing, redhawkroofing.com. Tell them DNVR sent you. These are your go-to guys. Red Hawk Roofing, the best in the business.
Also, if you're just lonely, You can just call them to give you an estimate, even if you have a brand new roof, and then just talk about the Nuggets.
Can you imagine if that's what happened? They canceled the partnership. We got a lot of referrals, but it was mostly just people wanting to talk.
Our phone lines are going crazy, but people are just talking to us about the Nuggets.
Nobody wanted a roof.
We've met B-Rad. I think that he would actually be really down with that. Yeah. I think he'd be like, that's
fun guy to talk to. All right, we're back here, segment three. Let's get into this mailbag, and let's start with Lou. Lou asks, whose offensive game will prevail more in the playoffs, Peyton Watson or Christian Brown? Whose offensive game? Or offensive game?
Yeah. Man, does Christian Brown have an offensive game anymore?
Does Peyton Watson?
A little bit more. I think it's Peyton Watson.
Do you think his offensive game flourishes more?
Given those two, I don't think either one necessarily flourishes. But
then that might be your answer.
No. Well, I guess that's my answer.
So you don't expect anything substantial from them?
Do you?
Offensively. I'll get to my answer last here. What do you think, Wim?
I think both are the same. I honestly think they're the same.
Yeah.
They're going to get the same kind of buckets. They're going to get the same kind of opportunities. They're going to get the same kind of chances in the playoffs. I think they get the same looks as each other.
All right, I've got a take since that's what we're after here. I'm going with Christian. I think Christian's done this already, man. Christian played well in an NBA Finals. And I think Peyton Watson is at risk of... just with his like youth, and he is both literally and spiritually, in my opinion, a younger player than Christian Brown. There's a possibility of him pressing, right? Picking up four fouls quickly, a couple of turnovers, not playing under control, not producing the way he has at his best in the regular season. I think Christian Brown knows how to do this, has done this before, and I think he's trending up right now. I really like the way Christian Brown's playing. I expect him to produce and perform at a high level in the playoffs.
So here's some numbers for you. The best two-man defensive ratings alongside Jokic. I know that's a team stat, so there's a lot of noise in this. But if Jokic on the court, who's the best two-man pairing defensive-wise? Number one, Christian Brown. Number two, Peyton Watson. Now, that means a lot of those lineups are against bench lineups, you know, staggered lineups. So you're going up against... what is most often weaker opponents. But I also just think there's something to it. Those guys are hella defenders, and when you give them yoke, their jobs defensively become easy. The two worst offensive ratings next to Jokic are Christian Brown and Peyton Watson.
What?
So when those pairings are on the court together, the offense is bad, but the defense is phenomenal, and it actually equals out to a really good net rating because the offense dips, but the defense skyrockets. I think you need, if you're going to play Jokic next to Brown and Peyton Watson, which in the playoffs I would, I think you just have to pair him with MPJ. The scary thing is when those two guys are on the court with Jokic, almost certainly you're not going to have Jamal Murray on the court. Almost certainly. And the more I think about what, because you need offense around him. I just mentioned the other day, you have Aaron Gordon on the court, you have Reggie. It's like, man, you start to do that, that's not a good offensive lineup, no matter how good it is defensively. So for me, I think there's a real role with those guys offensively next to Jokic. It's just so hard to build a good lineup, specifically because Reggie almost has to be a part of it. Reggie, Peyton, Christian Brown, hard to get an offensive lineup that starts with those three, even if you give him Michael Porter. But I do think if you do give him Michael Porter at the four, you're going to have at least maximum spacing there to get cuts. To answer the question, though, I think it's Peyton Watson. I think Peyton Watson is the most dependent on Jokic offensively because he's a cutter and a slasher more than anything. And when he's not out there with Jokic, there's just fewer opportunities to cut and slash. When he is out there with Jokic, there's a lot of them. I think in a playoffs, if he plays with a Jokic and a Porter, and maybe he even gets a few minutes here or there with Murray, I actually think he'll pop offensively. Just as a cleanup guy, not like crazy dynamic. But I think he'll look good offensively. The hard part is he'll probably play half of his minutes with lineups that are nothing like that, and I'm not sure he will.
Honestly, I feel like they've been gravitating towards playing the same role on offense. Christian Brown and Peyton Watson. Christian Brown's been spending some time in the dunker lately. Yeah. You know, they're both like going to make a lot of their living in the playoffs on the glass too. Transition as well. I feel like they're kind of similar in a similar space offensively, both of them.
Was this question just about offense?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I take back my answer.
You take it back?
Yeah.
Man, that was fun, though. You had a take that was like
out. Oh, yeah. There. Let it stand, actually.
All right. Well,
what was your take?
I don't remember.
It was Christian Brown. Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome on offense. I will say, look.
So wait, you gave a five-minute answer on you didn't know what the question was?
I think you just heard Christian Brown, Peyton Watson.
And then you were like, oh, actually, guys.
Yeah. Here's, I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. I'm like the Michael Porter Jr. of podcasting. What's the play? Whatever. I'm open.
We're like, Vogt has so much talent. It just can't ever quite put it together.
Doesn't know what's happening.
Cornell Salisi says, give one that the Nuggets need to change to their system this season to prepare their team this coming playoff run. I think he meant give one thing that the Nuggets need to change to their system to prepare them for the coming playoff run. Is there something they need to change about their system?
No. What they have to do is just to get into their playoff rotation.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, this is the most frustrating part of the season in many ways because it is the least like what you could expect. They are getting rounding into form, but they're still like trying to feed everybody, and you have that like horrible stretch with the bench or whatever. I mean, it's like, you get playoff intensity, but then you get wonky lineups, you get weird things that don't make sense. And, you know, it's been successful until last night, but I mean, truly it's just living in rings culture. Like we do now, we know that the regular season does not matter, unfortunately. And it's just, once you get to the playoffs, you have your 9-man rotation. It's just, that's what it is. You don't think back. You're not like, oh man, I'm really glad we put all that time into Reggie. It's just like, all right, that was fine. It was good. Now we're into 2-man game. Now we're into the core guys playing big minutes, and that's what it's going to be.
They should change their evaluation process for backup centers.
They really should.
That's something they should change.
Yes, they absolutely should.
We don't think there's anything system. All right. It's kind of true. The Nuggets know who they are, so the mystery is a little bit weird.
It's not that they're a perfect team. It's not the system that
the coaches need to get some new colors on their quarter zip.
I'm hoping they
mix it up a little.
I'm hoping they go like full half zip. You know what I mean?
Full half zip.
Yeah. Like what about just full zip?
Oh, a full zip, dude. I didn't even think about that, dude.
T. Sweezy has a fun one for us. If you get to have exactly 150 piece in the playoffs this year, just one, which player you want it to be the one to have it? I'll go to you first, Vogt.
Come on, man.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Michael Porter?
Come on.
That's who you would rather have? You only got one?
I get to just give him a 50-piece?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, I'm doing it. Are you kidding?
How? So if I told you there's a Porter 50-piece, what are the odds the Nuggets won?
100%.
Okay. All right, if we're talking about things that are actually possible.
That's not the question.
I would take
Jalen Pickett.
I would take a Jamal Murray 50-piece.
Totally.
Because it just adds to the legend of Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
The legend of the greatest playoff riser in NBA history.
Yeah, the person that I would want least to give it to would be Nikola Jokic.
Because he's 0 for 1 in 50-point games. Usually if he made 50 points.
Yeah. Yes, every other player you're like, oh man, yes. If Jamal Murray scores 50 points, there's a very high percent chance that the Nuggets won that game.
Yeah.
If the Nikola Jokic scores 50 points, there's a very high percent chance they lost that game. Yeah. If Michael Porter scores 50 points, there's a very high chance that Vogt is asleep and he's dreaming.
If Michael Porter scores 50, something went wrong.
Yeah, dude. Or like Vogt's like hands Nicole are covered Jokic in lotion. Got
tossed in the first quarter of the
game. Or everything went right.
No.
All right, get your heads out of the gutter. That's the question. I get to choose.
You know what? I will say we're overcorrecting on Michael Porter. Like, he is, I think it's really hard for him to have a 50-point game. He's not going to.
Okay, Christian Brown.
Now we're talking.
But he had 37. It didn't feel like he was forcing anything. You know, just like sometimes he doesn't miss shots, and they are threes.
Yeah. Fuck it. P-Watt. I don't care. There's no rules.
P-Watt. I think there really is only three answers that you could have here, and I would say the right one is Jamal. It does feel like Jamal's 50 pieces.
I was trying to remember.
They lost one game with him as a 50 piece.
Against Donovan Mitchell,
Game four.
Yep.
So it can happen. Although that was the one where he had, I think, like two garbage time buckets to get there. That was, I don't know. Rhett Nuglife says, what's a non-work-related talent that you guys have that you're proud of or that you've just never been brought up on the show? Brag a little.
I love the idea that we don't have work-based talents.
Don't have any talent.
Yeah.
We don't have work-based talents.
That's what this was an effort to feign having a talent.
Nobody, you guys have no talent.
Wait, we're not going through. Okay,
you have lots of talent.
No, I know. I know that. I mean, I'm good at drawing. I'm good at pickleball. I'm good at pickleball. Ping
pong. Yeah. How good are you at pickleball? Would you say?
I'm early in my career.
Okay, all right.
So I am a good. Well, there are strategies and there are specifics to that racket sport. I am a gifted racket sport player.
I'm a good cup stacker.
That's true. This is true, actually. Yeah. He really is.
I'm really good at
FIFA. I can
FIFA.
Break down a 3-6-3.
FIFA. I'm really good at FIFA.
Dude, I used to be very good at Quake.
At Quake?
That's another video game.
Devs, by the way, Warzone. Dev is the Jokic of Warzone.
He's that good.
Unbelievable, dude.
And betting.
You drop in, you don't even see him at any point, and then you guys just win. And he has, like, his stats are, it's like Jokic's stats compared to the bench. You're like, how did that happen? Did
really?
Yeah.
I'm actually a pretty accomplished, classically trained opera singer. No, just kidding. That's Kale.
That's Kale. Oh, yeah.
I was a good singer as a child.
You were in choir?
I would get starring roles.
Were you a soprano or alto?
Are you pretty good? Like you,
probably alto.
Have you ever seen that episode of The Simpsons where young Homer hits puberty? And it, Abe, his father, is like, young Homer sings like an angel. And he's like, oh. And then his voice cracks and he just turns into Homer's voice.
That was you?
That was me.
When you hit puberty and yeah. This was like,
but I used to get like starring roles in our plays for elementary school.
Really? You know how if you're good in band, you get your own solo in the middle of the song in like concert in elementary school? I got my own song.
Yeah,
they stopped the concert. They pulled a chair up for me. I played
Young
trombone.
Brendan sings like
I
an
played
angel.
Trombone. Yeah. I was too small to play the trombone. They tied it. They tied it to my middle finger with a string, so I could throw to seventh position.
I wish we could see little vote doing his trombone routine. I used to write plays in middle school.
Did you really?
Yeah, I really did. We then our school
anything
produce
good?
Oh, of course not. I was
just checking. Yeah.
I don't have my talents. I talk about on the show. I can identify bird calls. That's it.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm not bad at geography either. All right, let's take a break. On the other
Adam
side, we got a couple more.
Way better at cornhole than you would want him to be.
Hand-eye coordination is my thing. That's those things I can do.
Except when it comes to golf.
Yeah,
that's not hand-eye. That's like body coordination. That's different. That's like full body coordination. It's only my hands. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, a couple more nuggets related questions to get through here, including I love this one. Party bus this weekend. Top 3 party bus songs.
Oh, that's a good question.
This is a question that I am directly faced with every time there's
every
a party.
Time.
Good question. Guys, Illegal Pete's. This episode brought to you by Illegal Pete's. If you're in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, great news. They now have a location in Wheat Ridge. You've got a friend in the burrito business in Wheat Ridge now. Illegal Pete's Gold. They opened their doors on February 29th. So if you're by Gold Marketplace, corner of 26th and Kipling in Wheat Ridge, check out Illegal Pete's. But if you're not, no worries. They got tons of locations all across Colorado, including one very close to the DNVR bar on Colfax. When you walk into an Illegal Pete's, you know they got great food. They have a bar. And they probably have your buddies, too, right there.
Oh, hell yeah.
Burritos, buddies, and beer. And a lot of other things at Illegal Pete's. Check them out today.
Circle K is pretty dope. Did you know that Circle K has a membership program? It's their Inner Circle Rewards program.
I would choke you out for a Polar Pop at this moment.
Well, you don't even have to do that. Just
I'm
stand
doing
by.
It anyway. Just
stand by
sure.
there, fella. For use at home, download the app. Scan that QR code there on the screen, would you? It's easy to download. Enter your email and phone number to be fully enrolled. After that, all you need is your phone number. Get deals. The deals include... First 5 fill-ups of gas are 25 cents off a gallon. Tight. Your first 5 Polar Pops, Eric, are free.
I don't care.
Every 6th item is free on several items, such as pizza, roller grill, dispensed beverages, donuts, and more. Plus, get a free any size Polar Pop from Colorado Circle K's by texting DNVR to 31310. That's DNVR to 31310. Message and data rates may apply. Periodic recurring messages per month. Terms and conditions can be viewed at CircleK.com. Sign up with the QR code on the screen or visit www.CircleK.com/innercircle for more information.
All right, final segment here. Matthew Kimura asks, Reggie has been struggling a lot late, and I think part of it is him not playing with DJ. We know neither Zeke nor DJ will play in the playoffs, but do you think DJ should start playing again in an attempt to get Reggie's confidence back up because Reggie will be playing in the playoffs?
I don't think it's the worst theory. I think there's something to it. I mean, Reggie definitely liked playing with DJ. Absolutely. Yeah. They had a good connection. DJ is a lob threat. Zeke isn't. It sucks because you throw all that away when the playoffs start.
But Aaron Gordon's a lob threat.
True. True. That is true. I don't think it's the worst thought.
The counter to that is, like, why would you get confidence in something that won't be used? Shouldn't he figure out how to play in a configuration he will be found in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, but it just hasn't really been working.
You just want blanket confidence for Reggie. So
yeah.
I don't think that
his whoopee.
Yeah, and I don't think that exists. I don't think it's like, wow, you got some lobs going to DJ, therefore now your three's working better in the playoffs. Maybe, I don't think it works that way.
I think it could with him, though.
Possible.
I think Reggie is going to be such a coin flip in the playoffs with his shot. Because, look, I'm not surprised that he's not playing well in the regular season, especially in this middle part. You get a week off between the last game and then the playoffs. He should be well-rested. You get a decent amount of rest during the playoffs. He's not going to be playing heavy minutes. I just think there's a chance that Reggie looks his best as a shooter. Not decision-maker. We know what he's going to be, a decision-maker, all that. Like, we know exactly. Defender, maybe he's a little more dialed in. You just need him to make shots every now and then, and I think he will at a better clip than he has the last 2 months, just by virtue of him getting a little more rest and prep.
I don't know. I think it might look like one great game and then four stinkers in a 5-game series. I don't know. Scary. Part of this for me with Reggie is that this is who Reggie Jackson is. Who he was that month without Jamal was awesome and welcome, and he has that kind of. Very few role players have that scalability because he's a bucket getter. But historically, Reggie is inconsistent, and he doesn't take the best shots. And that was why he was a buyout guy. And so I just think some of this is, like, how do we help Reggie? Some of it is just that Reggie hasn't been very good, regardless of the circumstances around him.
Yeah. C-Mac says, looking forward to the DMVR takeover this weekend. What are your top three party bus songs? You're the party bus guy here.
Well, let me bring up the actual party bus playlist.
Old school.
What I try and do is I just try and think of like generic bangers.
Taylor Swift.
No, can't do it. Can't do it. But I do have things like I go MOP a lot of times. Andy Up. I'll go Missy Elliott, like I mentioned. I'll go like. Biggie, you know, like the classics. Oh, cool.
That's what I'm saying. You go classic, yeah.
Yeah, so you're right. But I go classic Fire Up. But I do.
It's almost Jock Jams level here.
It's full Jock.
You got to go classics.
I go full Jock Jams now that you mention it. I have a playlist called Bus, one called Bus 2.
This is
Bus
how we 4. Do it. You have like
those, Jump Around, House of
Jump
Pain.
Jump Around, yeah.
Hypnotized by Biggie, Andy Up.
To the Window, to the Wall.
You know which one I put on all the time? Peaches by Justin Bieber.
So I'll let me jump in. A lot of rap.
Yeah. Yep. It's the NBA. You know what I'm saying?
I would maybe gravitate towards what I like to call the genre of boat music.
Oh. But boat music, you don't get fired up for a boat. Like what kind of boat music would you?
I would
like,
go on a boat with wind.
Dude, wind seems like a boat guy.
Like is boat music yacht rock?
No, boat music is like Pour Some Sugar on Me. That's boat music.
That's strip club music.
No, that's boat music.
Kind of a better fit for the party bus.
But I always go like Brass Monkey, Baby Got Back. You're right. It's all rap. Everybody gets in the right mindset. I'm trying to prime them for DJ Paz.
Tops Drop, Fat Pat, Hotel Lobby, Quavo and Takeoff. Feel what? So good, Mace.
Where's this coming from?
My bus playlist.
Oh, well. You have a bus playlist too.
Hey, man, I ride
you
the bus.
You have a bus.
I ride the bus from time to time. Man.
This is a competition to see who gets on the aux.
I'm never on the bus.
I always jump on and get on the aux. Yeah.
I saw a good meme the other day that was like, they gave me the aux, so now everyone at the party has to be sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam playing Bob Dylan on the party bus.
Yeah, dude. During our Christmas party, I took the aux. I stepped up. Adam came over and complimented me.
Lindsay I'm a complimenter, man.
Lindsay came over and complained. So,
you probably felt great about that. You're like, I nailed it. Perfect. Northwest Nugs asks, if you were an NBA prospect big man, what defensive skills would you work on to defend Jokic? I actually think there are answers to this one. If you're a prospect, one, you got to be big.
Footwork.
Strength.
So you got to be big. You got to be strong, man. Like, this is my new thing. You don't have any strength, man. That's nothing to him. I think it's why Nurkic is a little bit of a challenge. He's a strong dude.
Second jump so I can rebound.
Yeah. But also footwork. Like, you can't like if you get are strong and you plant yourself, he's going to spin around you.
Sure.
You got to be nimble on your feet. You got to be able to you got to sort of be able to like.
You can't have too much athleticism.
You for up
because he'll take advantage.
Truly,
of that.
But that's what I mean. Like
if you need a body type exactly the same as Jokic.
It's true, which nobody has. So good luck.
What about Serbian?
Oh, just like as a that's it a would skill help. You can work on?
It would definitely help.
I'm serious. Like Kevin Garnett, something, just talking trash to him in Serbian. Try to distract him. Just
oh, speak Serbian, not become Serbian?
No, just speak
Serbian. Well, I'm working on becoming Serbian, so.
Nice.
I wonder what would happen if he went up against a player, American player. I'm trying to think who this could be. Carl Anthony Towns, maybe, or Anthony Davis, and he just started trash talking him in Serbian subtly. If Jokic would be like thrown off by that or just like hyper motivated.
Maybe it would actually get him going more.
Yeah, and he's like, crap, backfire.
To be honest though, it's just, and this isn't even a skill, it's just alien length. Like conceivably Wemby's going to give him some trouble down the line because he's the longest person that's ever lived.
He's so weak, man. Did you see Shengun last night? We didn't even talk about it.
I did.
Dude, he just bodied him, man.
I know.
That's the worst Wemby's looked in a long time.
And he had that great highlight in that game, too. Meanwhile, he was getting served.
Yeah.
I'm not saying right now Wemby's. I don't know, man. Initially, the first time Jokic sees you, if there's a lot of length, it's like a new experiment. Like, it took him 10 minutes with Chet, I'll say last time. It took him 10 minutes to figure it out. He's going to. But I don't know, man. If you're too much of one thing, you're not good enough at another thing, you know?
That's the thing about Jokic. You got to be everything to go up against him. Liz asks, what does it take to work for you one day? I like this one just because I get this question like once a week. Honest to God, an email. So maybe once a year I'll address it. The one thing I'll say is we get a million people trying to work for DNVR. It's a very popular place for people. This very day, someone walked into the bar asking how they could get a job here. So it's an extremely common thing. I always tell people, grind on your own. This is a hobby before it's a job, and you have to build up your own your own portfolio of work. I think the easiest way to do that is through social media. So, you know, but if you want to be a podcast person, if you want to produce, like learn how to do all that stuff on your own. No one's going to pay you, and then you have something to stand on. If you just send in resumes and are like, I would like to do that because I possess the skills, we probably get 100 of those a week, and I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but it's true.
It's a jobby. It's a hobby and a job.
It's a hobby and a jobby.
You really just, each one of us represents somebody that just started doing stuff, right?
Right.
I just started making t-shirts because I wanted to. And then I like found myself, unfortunately for everyone here, on this podcast. I don't know how it happened.
Yeah.
I don't belong here. Whatever.
Our most recent one is our social person, Nick, though. He applied. He wrote emails saying, hey, I want to do this or that, and went to the ether like it always does. And him noticing that instead started his own TikTok channel and started making content, grew it up really big, and then started tagging us in all of his content. So it was like, okay, we can no longer ignore this guy. But it's example of it's like, well, he's not just tagging us on dumb stuff. He's tagging it on we're watching his channel grow. So it's stuff like that. Anthony Egan, I always want to ask now what's at stake. This is the last one. What's at stake for tomorrow? Anthony Egan asks, how much will you take out of the matchup between Denver and Boston? Can anything be learned, or is it just another game?
If they win in the same way as they won last time, I'm going to get really annoying about it. That I think one of these teams is going to be much better when it gets tighter in the real tight games in the final 5 minutes than the other. I know that Boston can beat the brakes off anyone if they hit enough threes. But that game was very satisfying because Boston hit a lot of shots out of the gate. And they couldn't pull away. And Denver is maybe the best in the league at the not so fast. And so if it happens like that again, I'm going to get really excited. If the Celtics hit 45 threes, I'm going to dismiss it as fast as I can.
I'm curious just to see the just the mindset Denver has, the last game of statement week. Are they still in that mode? You know, they weren't in that mode against Phoenix, but they had been up until that point. Because I expect the Nuggets to eventually take their foot off the gas a little bit compared to how they've come out of the All-Star break. It's natural. It's what, you know, a lot of teams do towards the end of the season. It's probably the smart thing. But are they still, you know, in statement mode week for this Boston game? I think they will be. I think, you know, there's a lot of hype around this matchup. I think they feel that hype as well. And so I expect them to battle.
Yeah. I mean, I think it really, there's huge potential here, but there's also huge potential that it's meaningless. Like, it really depends on how the Nuggets approach this. This is the ultimate measuring stick game in that this is more than likely the team that's going to come out of the East, it seems. You never know exactly how it's going to go, but at least in the regular season, like, this is the best that the East Coast has to offer. And if the Nuggets are able to beat them on the road and at home, and it's real and it's intense, you know, part of me feels like they're, you know, when you were talking about, you know, if the conspiracy is real, that the Nuggets really did sort of tie their own hand behind their back, like, why wouldn't they also do that against the Celtics? Like, and not, maybe not give themselves every advantage in this game to, like, really lay it all on the line to try to win. So I think that there's a lot that we can evaluate from how they approach it. But this is TBD. Yeah. We can learn a lot or we can learn nothing.
I want to learn. The biggest thing I can learn is what the Nuggets' mentality is, because it was so good for six straight games that it was not good in Game 7. Was that just an anomaly, and now they come out with a little bit more seriousness? Again, you're right. They could tie their hand behind their back, but there's just something to playing harder and being more intense. And
it's dope for us.
And then number two, like, I don't think anything that could happen tomorrow would be bad for Denver outside of an injury, of course. But, like, if they lost by 20 tomorrow, I actually don't think it would mean that much. It means a lot more to Boston. But what I would say is that if Denver did bully Boston, I think it would mean a lot. So I think that Denver's in a very favorable spot tomorrow. I'll say this. If Boston wins tomorrow, Denver becomes Boston becomes the favorite to win the title. It becomes a real statement.
Yeah.
The odds will reflect it, and everybody in their mind will be like, yeah, but I just don't think Denver matches up with them. And that might be a comfortable place for Denver.
Yeah.
Denver's never been the favorite. And as much as people are giving them their respect this year, it might be nice for them to be in that lower spot. But at the same time, if you go out there and bully, like truly bully Boston, not just to where you beat them, but to where they look like they're afraid of the moment, which is possible in my opinion. If you have questions about Boston, it's not really about their talent or their skill. You question their backbone. And Denver can go out and bully them in a way that would probably make them question their own backbone. If you do it the right way, you go out there and you're just more physical and you're more clutch and you're more connected. And all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, we're not that. It could sow seeds of doubt. So that's why I think that's what's at stake for me tomorrow. Yeah. It's a very comfortable place to be in.
If they'd be like, oh,
agree to disagree.
They are who vote thought we were.
We got some super chats.
Patrick Rasmussen, have some of my money. Half the sum of my money, to be precise. And it's $5.
There you go.
Hang on to the other five, Patrick.
Thank you, brother.
Hang on to the other five. Bashir Daoud, watch the replay. Jokic should have lobbed it to AG.
Oh, yeah.
I've always said that guy doesn't make good reads.
He misses reads left and right. Zone.
Mile High Singh, Stephen A. is the biggest Nuggets Joker hater.
Man, I'll tell you, we haven't even talked about this. Maybe we'll do it on tomorrow's show. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll do it on tomorrow's show.
We have to have a different national media enemy every year.
He said the thing that pissed me off specifically, though. If I were to give him the time of day.
Tommy Pansy, excited to make the trek and bring a bit of Grand Rapids to DNVR this weekend for the takeover. Hell go yeah. Nuggets, go gold. All the DNVR folks are good.
Hell yeah, we're getting high like it. Grand Rapids to Denver. Let's do it, baby. I like
it. Cedric Exquisite, let's BB, fellas. Need a mukbang online with D-Line.
Almost like a robot of just words, of DNVR words.
Doesn't even really make sense.
Mukbang online with D-Line Munder.
I'm in, dude.
Let's go.
It's just incredible. Like AI, like Nuggets, AI, DNVR Nuggets.
Guys, Nuggets Celtics tomorrow. It's a big one. It's a big one on TNT. Should be a fun game. I'm looking forward to it and a chance for the Nuggets to bounce back. Thanks for hanging with us on an off day. Hit the like button on the way out. We'll see you tomorrow.